Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to miss most of you next week, but it's vacation time. My family and I will be leaving on Saturday for our annual week at the cabin up in Three Lakes, Wisconsin. We've made this trip for well over 20 years, and we all look forward to some time spent away from work, relaxing, hopefully getting some canoeing in, maybe a little golf, and of course, some fishing. I'm not what you would call a big fisherman. In fact, this week is about the only time I actually go out and fish anymore. The week is more about spending time with the family, spending time in the canoe, and just enjoying the water. But I would be lying if I said there wasn't a little bit of fishing competition. It wouldn't be right if my brother-in-law and I did not make a small wager on who would catch the first keeper. A keeper is what we call the first fish that is worth hanging on to, the first one worth throwing into the boat and bringing back to camp. Any fish that isn't considered a keeper, one that doesn't measure up, is considered a small fry and is tossed back into the lake and left to swim away. Now, the concept of a keeper does not only apply to fishing. We keep many things. Most of them are items that have value to us, items we wish to keep safe and set apart from danger. And more than just items, friends and loved ones are kept near and dear to our hearts. Just take a look at today's baptismal infant. You can tell she's a keeper. And I'm sure the first thing on her parents and her godparents' minds is to keep her close and to keep her safe from any harm and any danger. This is the final weekend of the Easter season. This past Thursday, we celebrated our Lord's ascension when his resurrected body was taken up into heaven. So 40 days have passed since Easter morning, and all the going that has been going on since then has culminated in Jesus' return to heaven, where he now sits at the Father's right hand. But he has not left us alone, remember? He has been building his earthly body, the church, and he has given us his word and his sacraments, where he continues to be present. What's more, he has promised to send us his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the third person of the Trinity. No, Christ has not left us alone, and he has not stranded us. He loves us too much for that. And today's gospel reading from John reveals just how much our Savior Jesus loves and cares for us. It reveals that we too, sinful though we are keepers. In this gospel, we see that our Lord, who has done so very much for us, who has in fact done everything for us, now does even more. We see here that he prays for us and he intercedes for us. He goes before his Heavenly Father and he prays that we be kept in the name of the Father. In this prayer, Jesus goes to the Father on our behalf. Much like a lawyer standing before a judge and speaking for his client, Jesus goes to his Father and speaks for his disciples, for his church, for you and for me. If we were to stand before the Father with nothing to show but our own works and our own deeds, our own self-righteousness, we would not measure up. Nothing that we have done on our own in the past or will do in the future will earn us the least bit of merit in the Father's eyes. Without the atoning work of Christ, we are small fry. We are nothing more than filthy rags, and we would be tossed back. But Christ does intercede for us, and he does pray for us. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Jesus prays that we be kept unified in the Father's name in order that we stay protected from the world and from the tempting wiles of Satan. He prays that we not allow the world and its stresses lead us away from salvation, salvation that is found in him alone. Reading further on in the gospel in verse 15, we can see this more plainly. Jesus prays, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." Our Lord Jesus knows well all the damage sin has done to our world. He knows the pain, the hunger, and the suffering. He knows it because he experienced it himself, all too painfully. He understands that our world continually tempts us and whispers words of doubt and confusion in our ears. Jesus knows that many voices, other than his, are trying to pull us off the path that we are to follow, the Jesus path, the Jesus way. Remember a few weeks back, only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But it is a narrow and it is a difficult path, so Satan prowls up and down it, seeking to devour. It is because Satan desires nothing more to lead believers off the path of Christ, that he works his hardest in the very places where they gather and where they are active. He has no need to hunt among those who don't believe and those who have fallen off the path. They are already in his claws. So as Christians, we are to be vigilant, we are to be alert, and we are not surprised when the fiery trials come to test us. And make no mistake, they will come. But we can and we will resist that prowling lion. We can and we will resist Satan and stand firm because we are Jesus' very own. We are baptized, just like little Eleanor Grace, into his death and into his resurrection. And when we are in Christ, when we are in Jesus, there is no room for fear. We are kept in the Father's name. We are kept safe. We are unified as his church. We are fed by his eternal gifts and by his holy word. We are the very children of God, and we are his for keeps. Because Christ took our sins to the cross, and because of his atoning sacrifice and his glorious resurrection, all of us are now keepers. Through Christ, we all measure up. We have been washed clean in his blood. He has pulled us out of the drowning waters of sin, and he has thrown us into the boat of his church, his real, living, present, and active body. It is certainly no accident that the area of the church that you are now sitting in is called the nave. In medieval Latin, as well as modern-day Spanish, nave, or nave, literally means ship. It's where our English word for navy comes from, and it's a nice reminder that here, gathered in the Father's name, we leave the tossing waves and the roaring, windy lions of the world outside, and we enter into the loving presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'll grant you, boats can, and they do get rocked. It's just part of being out on the water. Storms rise up, and waves slosh over the sides. But our Lord knows this, and he gives us instructions on how we are to act. We read from our epistle to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Cast all of your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. We're not to stand up in the boat. We're not to shout orders at the captain, nor are we to take hold of the rudder ourselves. We are to humble ourselves in order to be exalted. Humble ourselves as our Lord humbled himself, with love, with forgiveness, and with obedience to the Heavenly Father, obedience even unto death. And this is not to be confused with weakness, though. When the devil comes roaring, we must be watchful and sober-minded, and we are to resist him, continuing firm in the faith, that faith which is strengthened by the knowledge that we are not alone in the storm. Other Christians throughout the world are suffering these same torments, but united as one, surrounded by his holy word and kept in the Father's name, we will all be victorious. After all, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So the storms will pass, and the Church of Christ will not be tipped. It will, in fact, be strengthened, restored, and established. And we'll be here, inside the ship, in the nave, and will be keepers, having no fear of being tossed back. Did you hear the name that was used for God in that last reading? The God of all grace. That's the God of unconditional love. The God who loves us so much he sent his Son for us. The God who loves us for keeps. So next Sunday morning, Pentecost, while I will not be here in West Chicago, I will be in church. And though I'll be about 300 miles away, I trust you will still join me in the boat. Because wherever Christians gather around the Holy Word of God and his precious gifts, they gather as his church, united in the Father's name. It's all really quite amazing. And it's all made possible because of the work of our intercessor, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who stands before the Father on our behalf, so that when God the Father looks at us, he sees us through the saving work of Christ. It's a lot like when we look at little Ellen or Grace today. When God looks at us, he sees us as innocent and pure, washed clean in the blood of Jesus, dressed in white, and ready for the eternal victory feast that has no end. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.